It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The Bible says in Psalm 118 and verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You may be going through a difficult time right now, but you need to be rejoicing as a saved person, as a person who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That verse again says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, God is not going to make us rejoice. He gives us the privilege and the ability to rejoice because of Him. And I look at Psalm 119 and verse 162. This is another way that we can rejoice. It says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." And that's what we're here for. That's why I'm here, is to study God's word, to get into it, to realize that God has given us so many great things. And the greatest gift that He's ever given man is His Son, Jesus Christ. And the greatest thing that Jesus Christ would ever give anyone is salvation by and through Him. We trust the Lord for salvation. He's the one who saves us. And we can rejoice in the Lord, not only today, but all the time we can rejoice. I realize that there's times when we get down, and that's human. But then we need to keep reminding ourselves of what greatness God has done, for what great things He's done for us. He's helped us through the turmoil of life. He's helped us with the things that come into our lives that we don't think should be there. But once they're finished, we grow stronger and stronger for the Lord. So we will rejoice because Jesus Christ has given us the ability to rejoice. And that last verse that I read about rejoicing, notice what it says again. "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." And that's what we're going to look into right now, is God's word. We will rejoice as we look into His word today, because He's given us that we may rejoice. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this privilege of looking into your word and studying it together. And I pray, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us and help us to know what you have for us today. We want to rejoice in you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of being able to read, hear, and study your word. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're studying in the book of Ephesians, and we left off with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Let me read that verse. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Well, why are we to put on the whole armor of God? First, that verse tells us that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 goes on to say, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We're wrestling against something that we have. There is no hope for us to succeed in the Christian life unless we put on the whole armor of God. Notice the term there. It says, "For we wrestle." For the saved person, it doesn't mean a wrestling with flesh and blood. This term, "for we wrestle," more than likely is a reference to the ancient games of Greece, a part of what took place during those games. It could be understood that this wrestling spoken of would indicate a struggle, a fight, combat, which the Christian is to keep up, as it most certainly refers to Christian warfare. We're going through a warfare today as saved people. There's a warfare going on, not only around us, but with us. The devil attacks us on a daily basis, a minute-by-minute basis. Now, don't get so puffed up that you think the devil is going to look at you personally. He has workers who does that. The devil cannot be in every place at one time, at the same time, because he is not omnipresent like God. He can't be every place at one time, at the same time, and therefore he has workers, the demons of hell. By the way, that's where they're going to end up. They'll end up one day in the lake of fire, be transferred there forever and ever. But we're wrestling against someone and something that confronts us. It's a combat. For we wrestle. The verse goes on to say, not with flesh and blood. In other words, not with men. Now, men can cause us trouble. People can cause us trouble. But that's not the point that Paul, through the Word of God, and God breathed the Word of God here, it's not with flesh and blood. Now, the apostle does not mean to say that Christians had no enemies among men and opposed them during the time that the epistle was written to the church at Ephesus. And by the way, that is written to us today. It doesn't mean that we don't have enemies around us today who are opposed to us. Just as the church at Ephesus, for many times were subjected to fiery persecution, we too have that as safe people. We are persecuted because we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and especially if you're standing up for Him. If you're going about telling other individuals about Jesus, then you will suffer persecution, and that's according to the Word of God. Well, as we look on in this verse, Paul did not mean those in the church at Ephesus had nothing to contend with in the fleshly and corrupt tendency of their nature, which was true of them then as it is now with those who are saved, but that their main disagreement was with the invisible spirits of wickedness that sought to destroy them. You see, we see this in this verse, that these invisible spirits of wickedness were the source and still are the source, and again, of the warfare that the church at Ephesus faced, and that's us as well, in spiritual conflicts. And with them, the warfare was to be maintained and to be maintained today as we as Christians stand up for the Lord. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. Well, there can be no doubt whatever that Paul refers in this verse to evil spirits. Now, I've already mentioned that, and as we look at this, we see it's like good angels. Evil spirits were regarded as divided into ranks and orders, and were supposed to be under the control of one mighty leader. Well, it's probable that the reference here is to the ranks and orders which they had before their fall, something like which they may still have. The word principalities refers to principal rulers or leaders. Notice against powers, it says. Those who had power, or to whom the authority of powers was given, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. These people, I won't refer to them as people, these spirits, these evil spirits, they have powers. It was given to them by the devil. And notice, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's why we put on the whole armor of God. You see, that means against the rulers of the darkness of this world. This would be rulers that keep control over the areas of, or the way of, the ignorance and sin that this earth flourishes in. Now, the people in the church at Ephesus would have, before knowing Christ as Savior, walk according to the darkness of this world. And so many people today do the same thing. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Before we as Christians go pointing a finger at someone and saying, look how bad that person is. Whoa, I could never be like that. I was never like that. Before we start saying things and doing things like that and saying things that against someone else, we need to remember that we were there at one time, wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Don't be so quick to point a finger at someone else. We need to realize that that person is where we once were. That person, that is, who is not saved. We need to pray for that individual, that God would save their soul, because they're wrestling also. There's something going on there that the devil won't leave them alone. The evil spirits keeps them from coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, the word darkness, we look at darkness in that verse, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Darkness is an emblem of ignorance, misery, and sin. And no description could be more accurate than that of representing these evil spirits as ruling over a dark world. The earth, dark, wretched, ignorant, and sinful, is just it's a dominion as these evil spirits would choose, or as they would cause to become a cesspool of depravity. The degradation and woe of the heathen world is such a place of wickedness that the foul and malignant spirits delight in it. It's a wide and powerful empire. It has been brought about, developed through the ages. The empire of the evil principalities with their power has prolonged all the authority of heathen law. Well, the empire of evil principalities has by all their omnipotence, power, admiration for things of the past, by all the power of selfish, corrupt, and base passions, prolonged the perverted religious principles of darkness. And there's so much of that going on in our world today. People are perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're saying, you must pay money into the church to be saved. You must be baptized to be saved. You must dance around and jump up and down. And that's one way that you're saved. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. These people who teach such things are living in darkness. They're being led about by the evil spirits. And I'm not saying that these people are not saved. I'm not saying now some of them possibly are unsaved. I'm not saying that all of them are saved or all of them are lost. I'm saying they are being led about by the spirit of darkness, the spirits, by all the power of selfish, corrupt, and base passions. And it prolonged the perverted religious principles of darkness. It's still going on today. See, no empire has been so extended or has continued so long as that empire of darkness. And there's nothing on earth that is as difficult to destroy. Yet, the apostle says that it was on that kingdom of evil that the church at Ephesus was to declare war on. Against that kingdom of evil, the kingdom of the Redeemer was to be set up, and that was to be overcome. That war, those evil spirits were to be overcome by the spiritual weapons, which Paul explicitly speaks of in our present work here as we're looking into the book of Ephesians. We'll look into this further next time, Ephesians chapter 6. I pray that you're saved. I pray that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I pray that if you are saved, that you're living for Him, that you're standing up against the workers of darkness, the evil spirits in this world. May you pray and stay close to the Lord, that you'll be used of God to help other individuals escape the darkness of this world and live in the glorious light of our Savior Jesus Christ. May you keep on keeping on serving God, trusting Jesus Christ to lead you through this life and to give you the power that you need to stand up for Him so that you can rejoice in the Lord every day of your life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.